so glad you are with us. If you could kind of comment and let us know technically that you are up and running and that you are here at the Academy with us as we're ready to start studying the Bible shortly, then I'll get word back from my tech team telling me that we are go flight, which is what we're ready for. I was recently driving down the road and I went past a church and it had one of those signs where you put in all the letters and tells you different things, what's going on there. And it was like, worship service canceled. Well, I just wanted to let you know, not here. We're ready to run. We're glad you're here with us. Happy Easter. And let's get ready to serve our God. And Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to meet like this. And I thank you for the enthusiasm, Lord, and the people who are commenting even as we're worshiping you. How excited they are to be together and how excited they are to be remembering what you did 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray that you take tonight and make it what you want it to be. Make it be a night where we connect with you. Even though we're in a different kind of broadcast mode than we're used to, we know that your word goes out and it has power. And I pray that as we look into your word tonight, you would do what you want to accomplish. Help hearts to be bolstered. Help people to be set free. Take us where you want us to go, but make us different an hour from now than we are now. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, knowing it's the best place to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And what I've been doing is I advance the slides when we're doing worship. And I enjoy doing that. But I stand behind our camera, which is my phone. That's what we're using, my iPhone 11, and I watch the comments as they come in as we worship, and it is so cool to hear when Texas chimes in and says, we're here, Texas is here, and Alabama chimes in, and then the Caribbean comes in, Pennsylvania comes in, people who are like, hey, I haven't been in church in a while, but I'm coming back. I say, yeah, well, we're all coming back. We're all coming back at some point, and we look forward to seeing you there. But as for now, this is what God has given us, and I'm glad that you are here with us tonight as we finish our Easter celebration that started last week. I was very anxious to get to today. I've always super anxious about the victory that happens that Sunday morning 2,000 years ago and to be able to talk about it today. You know, if I could travel back in time and witness firsthand, if I could see some firsthand event, what would that be? How about you? What would you choose? What firsthand event would I like to look at? For me, I find it very difficult to settle in on one, and you probably find it difficult too. I mean, who wouldn't love to see Moses parting the Red Sea? And then those Egyptians going through and then they folding back over them. That would be a cool moment to see. Or I would have given anything to be in the Valley of Elah when David took on Goliath and beat him. Or even, how about being on the top of Mount Carmel with Elijah when Elijah had the big showdown with the Baal priests? And Elijah calls down fire from heaven and basically burns the whole top of the mountain off. And who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to be there? Wouldn't you want to witness firsthand? Peter and Jesus walking on water together. I mean, those are incredible moments. And then we really can't forget about really the biggest two. I think the biggest two moments in history would be Jesus' crucifixion, which I have to be super honest with you. I do not think I have the wherewithal in me to actually watch it. I think it would have been too hard for me to actually look at. And then the second big piece, really, that Jesus's exodus, his exit from that tomb all those years ago. Now that particular moment, that I would have stared at. I wouldn't have any problem staring at that one. I would even have had my trusty iPhone 11 with the triple cameras. I'd have had it out. ready, and I would have been staring with eyes wide open. Because that moment, that event of really unprecedented whiplash, think about it, going from the super low in your heart of Friday, watching Jesus die, and now going to this super, super skyrocketed amazement moment of witnessing the resurrection just days later. That would probably be the greatest. And I would want to witness it. I think I would want to witness it from all angles. I would want to be in the tomb, and I want to see it from there, and then I want to see it from outside. I mean, I want to know. I would like to know. If I'm going to witness this thing firsthand, I want all the details. I want to know, did Jesus fold up those death clothes, and did he lay them neatly on that casket slab? Did they do it before the earthquake started? When did it happen? And I want to know, did Jesus smile at that angel who was in there with him when his face was uncovered? I mean, and did that giant stone that we hear it rolled away, but did it crack? Did it fall flat? What was it like with that thing rolling away? And then there's that incredible, this changes everything, walk. That incredible tomb walk that Jesus takes away from the grave. To think, Friday, Jesus walking to the cross and all that that would entail. And now, this Sunday walk out of the tomb. Now, the long walk that Jesus took to the cross, the Via Dolorosa, as it's known, that walk, well, it may be talked about more, and it may garner more greater exposure in the Bible. But for me, the walk away from the tomb, the Lion of Judah exiting this hole in the ground, Jesus, God's Son, standing tall, standing straight up again, and Jesus the victor, flooded by the immense satisfaction and the confidence of completing his task. That walk, that tomb walk, is what I want to focus on tonight. My fellow pilgrims, here is our thesis for tonight. Where the cross of Jesus Christ is something that we behold, something we watch being done for us, the tomb walk is not to be treated as a spectator event. Instead, it is a walk that we too must make as Jesus did. And God does not ask us, God doesn't ask you and me to suffer the cross, but he does call us to come out of our tombs. Like Jesus summoning Lazarus with his, "Come forth, Lazarus," from his tomb, God's whole plan was designed to call us out of ours. So with that as our direction from God, let's look at what that amazing grave exit and the subsequent tomb walk brings about in our lives. Let's start with the backstory. Luke chapter 23. We are back on Friday, crucifixion day. The sun will soon sink over the horizon, ushering in the Sabbath. Verse 50 of Luke 23. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Well, he went to Pilate, and he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of a rock. Now, this was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body, but by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as the law required. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. Well, the Roman guards, they shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Well, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Well, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers and leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Friends, when Jesus walked away from that tomb, he walked away from and he left all the world's sin behind him. Remember what we studied last week. He had all the sin of the world placed on him. And he took it to the grave and he disposed of it. I picture those grave clothes, the ones that when the disciples looked into the tomb, they saw that the grave clothes were taken off, neatly folded and left in the tomb. Jesus had worn those in death, but he didn't take them with him. Instead, they were left in their rightful place. They were folded up, they were left in the tomb, a soiled reminder of the guilt of sin, a guilt that separates us from God, instead of uniting us to him. You know, as intense and as crucial as the crucifixion was, the Bible tells us something very interesting. It says that Jesus had to be raised from the dead, and he had to tomb walk to totally complete the job of sin removal. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You would still be in your sins." Dr. Stephen Matheson points out, while the death of Jesus Christ and resurrection of Jesus Christ were separate events, they are inseparable. They are inseparable elements when it comes to providing forgiveness for our sins. Friends, what this means is point one. Tomb walking assures that we leave the baggage behind. You know, it must have been terrifying and gut-wrenching that the time on the cross for Jesus when he was forsaken by his Father. Remember, Jesus had said yes, willingly said yes, to being stripped of some of his divine abilities. He had said yes to living a pauper's life. He had said yes to trying to convince the world that he was God's son, and he had said yes to enduring the cross and denying his own desires. But he had done all that saying yes, with the bolstering and encouragement of God the Father standing right next to him. No matter what was taken from Jesus, he had the Father with him always. That is, until he carried all the world's sin on him. It was in that period of time when sin had separated the two of them. It was in that period of time when Jesus would need his foundational support most. That period of time when Jesus says, "My God, why have you forsaken me? In that period of time, we see sin do what it longs to do, separate us from God the Father. But now, it's Easter morning. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, he walked away from all the effects, all the life-robbing baggage of sin. Tomb walking is a walk away from guilt, away from the burden of condemning ourselves. It's a walk that Jesus paid for and now invites you and me to participate in. Westbridge, there are those of us who, after finding Jesus Christ, we can still have a hard time walking away from the tomb. We have a hard time separating from the things in the past that we regret doing. Things that have left us with our lives tattooed. Even scars that we may have left on other people in our past. Now, some tomb walkers, after God has forgiven them, they walk away from the tomb lighthearted, and they cast off any tether that attempts to keep them tied to the shame of the past. But then there are those of us who walk out of our tomb, but we neglect, or for some other reason, we forget to leave the old death clothes folded up and nicely nestled back in the grave. Well, friends, Jesus' intention is for us to walk away from the tomb baggage free. He talked about us walking away from the tomb with no monkeys on our back. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he asks, Jesus says, are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me away from the tomb. And work with me. Watch how I do it, Jesus says. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely, live lightly. Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Friend, if you are finding walking with Jesus condemning, if you are finding that it's dooming, then you're probably still tethered to the tomb of your old sin. And it's time for some tomb walking. It's time to leave the grave clothes behind and exercise the right that Jesus gives us to walk away from the guilt. Walk away from the guilt that separates us from God and walk into the life he has waiting for us. I had a friend who had found Jesus Christ and had embraced Jesus. But as time went on, my friend became terribly distraught. They saw and understood the weight of their previous choices clearer and clearer as they walked with God. My friend said to me, Jesus' yoke doesn't seem like a light or an easy burden. He says, the more I learn about him and what I should have done, the worse I feel about what I did. I told my friend, I said, You cannot separate Jesus' freeing work on the cross from Jesus' freeing walk away from the tomb. They go hand in hand. The fact is, Jesus had all your sins. He took all your sins, the ones you're talking about that you're ashamed of, he took them on himself. He took the condemning of yourself with him. He took all that on him. He wore that, and he owned it, but he left it in the tomb, and he walked away from it. I told my friend, you need to do some tomb walking. Walk away from sentencing yourself for your past. You know, once I bought a, I once bought a white Oxford button-down shirt. And it wasn't a cheap shirt. I paid pretty good money for this shirt, but it was a really nice, good shirt, and it looked nice for like a casual night out. Well, the first time that I wore that beautiful white shirt, I gotta say, I looked pretty good in that shirt. And it looked good. It looked good, okay? And I wore it proudly. But that night, we decided to stop at a restaurant for dinner. Now, just to help you understand this, there was a time when you could go to a restaurant and you would sit down and you would eat there. And yeah, this was a different time than we're used to, but we used to do that. And I did that that night. I went to this restaurant and I'm going to have dinner, but it was an Italian restaurant. And I ordered spaghetti and meatballs. And I ordered it in my pristine new white shirt. Now, would anyone like to finish my story for me? Because I think you know where this is going. You guessed it. Red sauce on my white shirt. Now, let me tell you, because I know, what works on getting red sauce off of a white shirt? Nothing. Nothing works. You ain't getting it off. You're going to have it on there and it ain't going. For weeks, I tried everything to get that shirt clean and tried to get that stain out. But all it did was hang on my dresser knob, staring at me, reminding me of the bonehead move that I had made. Now, why I left that shirt out so prominently, so I would always see it, I don't know why I did that. But all it did by doing that was make me feel stupid and make me feel defeated for what I had done. Well, gang, a lot of us are sitting in our tomb and we're staring at our old stained clothes. And that is not what Jesus and Easter are all about. Friend, it's time for some tomb walking. It's time to leave the tomb and to get on the solution side of things. And that leads us to point two. Tomb walking is always a way. As you read the four accounts of Jesus' resurrection in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you read the four accounts, you will find that seemingly everyone involved in that Sunday morning, all the characters involved in that Sunday morning, look into the tomb or go into the tomb. Every single one of them, except for one, Jesus. In Matthew and Mark, it tells us about angels in the tomb with Mary and the other Mary. Luke tells us the women went in the tomb to see it. Luke also tells us Peter looked into it. John, he records in his account that he himself looked into the tomb. Peter went into the tomb. And then we have yet another account of these two angel tour guides. These two Jewish angel tour guides, I guess. They're giving tours of the tomb. Here's what, come see. And he's the only other character involved in this whole story, the only one we read about is Jesus, and he's the only one whose eyes are looking elsewhere. Jesus is done with the tomb, and we never see him look back at it. Instead, his sights and his attention are on Galilee and ministering to his friends and his loved ones. The sin of this world, the cross's shame, the awfulness of the crucifixion are all behind Jesus, all behind him. And he doesn't look there. Instead, Jesus shows us it's time to bolster others. It's time to comfort others, Time to strengthen others and even correct others. Yes, all of the sin, it was real. Our past is still our past. Yes, all of the guilt was brought into the open, couldn't be hidden. And yes, there will be fallout from all of it, but Jesus doesn't spend any of his new time hanging out in the tomb. He, unlike the others, doesn't look at what was. Instead, Jesus focuses on what can now be. Jesus walks away from tearing down mode, and he walks into, on his tomb walk, building up mode. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. He says, when he died, Jesus, he died once and for all to sin's power. But now he lives, and he lives for God. So consider yourselves, me and you, consider yourselves dead to sin's power, but living for God in the power Jesus Christ gives you. Friends, for many years, I hauled the church trailer with a very big, beautiful Dodge pickup truck that I had bought used. I loved that truck. I had it a long time. I loved it, and it was a great truck. But one day, my truck got smashed badly in the side while it was parked. Here was this pristine, wonderful creature with nothing but a promising life in front of it. And under my care, it gets messed up and badly wounded. Each morning, I would walk out to my mailbox, and there it was staring at me. The damage, the injury, the destruction. And every day, my heart sank and my shoulders felt heavier and heavier. See, gang, my eyes were locked looking into the past. I had to forcibly turn away and stop visiting the mistake. So I got on the phone, called my friend Ator, and he said, bring it down to the shop. Well, that day, I changed my focus. That day, I walked away from what was bringing me down and set my mind on the fix. The past couldn't be erased, but it can be repaired. It's all about what you're looking at. It's all about what you're focused on. But tomb walking, what Jesus shows us, is always a way. Always away from what's in our tomb. And it's towards God's repair. Friends, our eyes must be on the fix that lies ahead, not whatever train wreck got us here. Too many of us are sightseers in the tomb with the angels. Oh, look, here's where he was. Look over here. Here's the dirty clothes over here. Look a little closer. You can even see the stains where Jesus was. Gang, Jesus ain't there in that tomb. And Jesus doesn't offer us any tours of it. Instead, Jesus says, let's get to Galilee. Gang, here's a good thing to memorize. The past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. The past is a place of reference, not a place of residence. Gang, God designed our past to be off limits to us. Did you realize that? Our past is off limits to us. But the future, the fix, the repairing with Jesus as our teacher, with Jesus as our guide, with Jesus as our mentor, and Jesus as our power supply, that, the future, the fix, is where we want to walk to. And that is where he calls us to walk to. So let's head into our final tomb walking point. Friends, the world that Jesus had left on Friday and is walking back into Sunday morning, that world hadn't changed. Buying and selling would resume that very morning. The Romans still ruled. Everyone had family work and personal responsibilities to take care of. The temple would still open. People were still trying to figure out life, still trying to figure out love, and still trying to figure out the pursuit of happiness. The world around the tomb hadn't changed, had not changed. But Jesus had changed. And that's our final tomb walking point. The world around our tomb hasn't changed, but we have. When you and I put our faith in Jesus, when we lay our sin on him, he takes it to the cross, buries it in the grave. When he does that, we change. We walk out of our old life. We walk away from the hindrances, but we walk away with a new heart. We walk away from that old cancer that we had, and we walk away with a victor's swagger. We tomb walk straight up, shoulders back, and confident, because God has shown us that we have laid hold of the answer to the mystery of life. We have found God. We have laid hold of the cure for what's destroying people's lives. We know it. We have gained understanding of what's going on and why are these things happening the way they are. We have discovered our purpose in this world. We are set free from the guilt and the regret. It has been replaced by God's power supply, living inside of us in the form of God's Holy Spirit. All of that to start the long process of reclaiming, the long process of repairing, the process of restoring what God shows us on the new walk. We tomb walk towards solution, not back into pollution. We tomb walk with order, not chaos. We tomb walk into a battle for others that we have already laid hold of and tasted the victory ourselves. The world hasn't changed, but we sure have. And soldiers, our tomb walk should show it. God wrote for us in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. Chapter 7, verse 4. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point, Paul says. This is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. God followers, some people get tripped up thinking that the cross and the resurrection and Jesus walking away from the tomb, some people get tripped up thinking all that changed the world. And that sounds like a really good slogan for a bumper sticker. But the Bible tells us that's not what happened. Jesus didn't change the world. He changed us. And we are to walk away from the tomb with Jesus inside our hearts. And we are to go change the world with him. Soldiers, if you look at what you have done in your past and what's in your tomb, you will walk quite defeated. But if we look at what Jesus has done for us and focus our steps on walking away from the tomb, walking with him on a mission of repair, well then, we tomb walk as we should. We tomb walk confidently, deliberately, determined, and we tomb walk assured. Jesus told the women at the tomb where they were to walk to. He told them that they would be the ones to share the good news with the disciples. Well, when it comes to our new life with God, the repair, the fix, and the mission, He will direct us too. He will determine the timeline. He will decide the timeline for change and when the fix is successful. He will oversee the repairs, and He takes responsibility for the outcome. John 15:5. It's an exciting thing. It's a very exciting thing when God decides and lays out our course for us. And that is because walking with God is always something incredible. It's always into something God-sized. For instance, this broadcast. Broadcasting our services is totally God-designed. God laid out this directive for us. We didn't come up with this. And in this manner of what God laid out for us, we are seeing people connect with God's message. We're seeing people connect with God's family here that we wouldn't have gotten to with our own thinking. Gang, it's an exciting and rewarding thing when we tomb walk with God and He decides and He navigates. Now, if it's not exciting for you, it's probably because you're holding on to and you're insisting on your own course setting. Some of our own navigation that you want God to follow. Well, soldiers, God doesn't want to change the world for you. He wants to change the world with you and through you. We like to say around here, give the steering wheel of your life to Jesus and get ready. Get ready for the ride of your life. Westbridge, let's do some tomb walking. Let's come out of our graves. And I give you complete permission tonight. Pastor is giving you permission. If you want to get up and dance, if you want to run down the aisles tonight, you have complete permission. If you want to stand on the chairs, I'm not stopping you. Come out of your grave. Thank you so much for joining with us tonight. It won't be long. We will be together again. But in the meantime, there's lots of work God's calling us to do. Maybe a part of it is what we talked about tonight. Letting go. Letting go of what's in the tomb. Just taking Jesus by the hand and moving forward. Yep, the world hasn't changed. But our perspective has, and so has the possibility. Because we have Jesus Christ. That's what Easter's all about. Head into the newness of life. So have a great Easter, everybody. We'll see you again very, very soon. We love you. Have a great night.